Okay, let me introduce myself. My name is Major Emmanuel Kondol Tiony. I'm very sure I'm the only Kondol Tiony, at least in DRC, so that we don't have other Kondol Tionys like we had Muhindos last week. I'm a born again old man from Kenya. And I have a nuclear family that comprises 7 members. That's myself, the mother, and 5 kids. Praise the Lord. So straight away, because of time, according to the program, I think I have only 11 minutes. And because of that, I was asked that we talk about fighting corruption. And if you don't get time, there are very important points that you need to get this morning. First of all, before we talk about fighting corruption, we are first of all going to define what corruption is. Because I felt it is very important, looking at the dictionary and definitions from the Transparency International, you will realize that there are some acts sometimes that we do that tends towards corruption. So we really need to know what corruption is. And then, secondly, we look at the specific acts of corruption. Thirdly, we are going to read from Matthew chapter 28, verse 11 to 15, where we get a classic example of corruption, where people of the caliber of the high priests and religious leaders sat down to concoct a lie that would affect humanity for centuries. To me, that's an act of corruption. And then, fourth, we are going to look at the effects of corruption, especially from the verses that we read from Matthew chapter 28, verse 11 to 15. Then, we are going now to see how to fight corruption as a society, as a community, and as individual Christians. Then we'll read from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 6 to 8, so that we get to know what God really wants from us. And I ask that you have a pen and a notebook, because we are not going to have time. I'm going to rush through, and we are going to quote so many verses here and there. So, first of all, as I have said, corruption, according to Transparency International, is the abuse of entrusted power by a person or organization for private gain. Abuse of entrusted power by a person or organization for private gain. It may generally refer to any dishonest or illegal behavior, especially of people in authority. Any dishonest or illegal behavior, talk of integrity and so on. All those amounts to corruption, and especially for private gain. The following are specific acts of corruption. One of them is bribery. That is giving of gifts and favors or inducements in exchange for personal gain. It's also known as kickbacks, giving of kickbacks. And gifts are diverse. You can talk of money, sexual favors, etc. And the personal gain may include getting preferential treatment, or if you have committed any crime, it may result to the crime being overlooked. That is bribery. Then another form or act of corruption is embezzlement and theft, where someone with access to funds or assets illegally takes control of the funds. Then we talk of fraud. Fraud, which involves mostly use of deception. And examples include the misdirection of company or institution funds into shadow companies and then into the pockets of the corrupt employees or corrupt individuals. Then, mostly we hear of graft, which is an unscrupulous and illegal use of politicians' authority for personal gain, especially where funds intended for public projects are intentionally misdirected in order to maximize the benefits to illegal private interests of corrupted individuals. Then we also talk of extortion and blackmail. Different from bribery, here there is use of threats. We are talking of extortion and blackmail for personal gain. You threaten, you use your authority to threaten others for personal gain. Then we also have influence peddling, where one uses his own influence in government or office or whichever position or connections to obtain favors or preferential treatment, usually in return for payment. Then we have abuse of discretion. This one happens mostly in the courts and among the legal fraternity. You have the power of discretion, but you use it for your own favor because you have the powers. You can decide in either direction, but you do it in a way that it favors you. Then there is also favoritism and nepotism and clientelism, which involves favoring a friend or a family member or member of an association, talk of a fellowship and so on, regardless of merit. You disregard merit so that you favor your kinsman or your brother or your whoever. Then we are going to read from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 11 to 15. I'm going to read from the King James version. It is on the screen. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the guards came into the city and announced unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave much money unto the soldiers, saying, say this, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and protect you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So, in the Gospel of Matthew, it is recorded what may be the greatest lie or corruption ever in human history, as I have said, because this is outright falsehood, made up stuff, masterfully manipulated to look like credible reports. So the guards give an account of what happened. So you read from the first verse. The guards actually told the truth. They gave an account of exactly what happened. And then also, get note of the term some. It's not all the guards that went to give the report. It's only some of them. If you have read the Bible very well, you will remember that Jesus had followers even in the most of unlikely places. You remember that Joseph of Arimathea, who was a member of the Sanhedrin, and when a decision was made to falsely accuse Jesus so that he be killed, he dissented, he objected, and eventually he was the one who had the courage to ask for the body of Jesus to get buried in his own tomb. Those were among the very silent disciples that we may not be aware of most of the time. So I tend to believe some of the guards descended and they did not want maybe to be drawn into this corrupt practice. So they went and gave the correct account of exactly what happened. But now see, knowing what will happen to their position and to their power. What happened? Because this was not good news for the religious leaders, who after hearing the news held a committee meeting of people who stood to lose power and influence. Should the real message get out there? It is here that they devise a plan. They concoct the lie. They start to scheme. They start to manipulate to their favor. Because the following were the objectives of the lie. If the report was going to be believed that actually Jesus rose on the third day as he had predicted and as had been prophesied, it would mean that these guys would lose their prominence. They would never bow before this Jesus in their life. They were the leaders in Israel, and they determined the teaching, the rituals, and everything, and they would not surrender their place over the people to the Jesus, who would then be very powerful. Secondly, they would lose their authority. And thirdly, they would lose their reputation. They were men of high repute. So if Jesus had conquered death and resurrected, their reputation will go down, because they would have told the public and the whole country that whatever was being said by Jesus himself, that he was going to resurrect, was a lie. So their reputation was going to be lost. So the chief priests chose, as we have seen, self-interest over the truth. They chose their prominence, authority, and reputation. So, do we find ourselves in such positions sometimes? That because of a certain truth, you are going to lose your authority. Maybe you are going to lose your reputation, in quotes. And your prominence in the society, in the village, in the community, in the fellowship, in the church, in the government, and so on. And when you read, they actually bribed the soldiers. And I add, probably, they also threatened them. They also went ahead to plan to bribe the governor. Because if you read from verse 14, that if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and protect you. How will they persuade him? And if they went ahead to do that, how did they persuade him? And how did they protect the guards for telling the lie? All those are acts of corruption. But you and I know this was total lie, because reading earlier, verses chapter 28 carefully, things don't really add up. And if I wish I had time, you will read that this was actually a lie, because when the guards say that we were asleep, reading from history, the Roman guards were very alert, and the penalty for not being alert was very severe. It was a capital offense. And if they were really asleep, how did they see that they were exactly the disciples who took the body of Jesus Christ? And were all the guards asleep to the extent that nobody heard and saw Jesus, the disciples, the many of them, coming to roll away the stone, take away the body? So that is what we question, and that's why it is a lie. So there are so many effects of corruption that we have seen from the verses that we have read. Finally, it is written that this particular saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this very day. There are people who do not believe that Jesus Christ actually resurrected up to this day, because of a lie that was perpetrated by a few individuals because of selfish gain. That is how corruption can affect a community, can affect a whole generation, because it has misled many up to death. And when you read from the book of 1 Corinthians 15 to 14 to 19, Paul is emphasizing the fact that if resurrection actually did not take place, what happened to us? It means we are hopeless. Some minutes ago we were singing about that Jesus Christ rose again, and is alive. So if that lie, the effect of the lie that he did not resurrect and is not alive again, is actually very serious. But the good thing is, you and I believe that he rose, and that was a lie, and he's alive, and that's the hope that we have. There are so many effects of corruption. There are so many effects of corruption. There are so many. I don't know which one. Because of time, I may not be able to mention all of them. Because it affects us as a society. For example, corruption corrodes the fabric of the society. It undermines people's trust in political and economic systems, institutions, and leaders. It can cost people their freedom, health, money, and sometimes their lives. Makes a believer to be hated by the world. Because you are not the world, you don't practice corruption, and therefore you'll be hated in your offices and wherever you go. It hinders prayers. When you read the book of James, chapter 4, verse 2 to 3, you pray for selfish gain. That is corruption. So it hinders prayers, brings tribulations and temptations, because if corruption is rife everywhere, you turn left, there is corruption. You turn right, there is corruption. You are told to sign this. You are told to decide this and this. So it brings tribulations for the few who stand on the truth, and a lot of temptations. It causes backsliding. It also results to instant, progressive, and eternal punishment by God himself. It causes defeat to Christians. Fighting corruption. And I think I'm going to spend only the next 5 minutes. How do we fight corruption? One, we have to possess genuine salvation, as we read in the book of 1 John chapter 5, from verse 5. Two, have true self-denial. as we were taught last week from the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 25 to 34. That's the cost of discipleship. You have to deny, you have to take your own cross. And then number three, you have to be transformed mentally and do not conform to the standards of this world. Our biggest problem as Christians today is conformity. You will read that one from the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, and also 1 Corinthians 5, 17. Our biggest problem is conformity. Do not love the world and its riches, which are temporary and uncertain. What is of primary importance to us? That is where we don't get, to the extent that we love the world too much. Be self-controlled and alert. Galatians chapter 5, 22, 1 Peter 5, 8 to 10. Avoid greed, lust, and evil desires. Avoid lust of the eyes, mind, material things, and so on. From the book of James chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Be contented. Paul was telling young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. And that verse is very important. Contentment and godliness is great gain. If you are not contented, my brother and sister, even if you are given the whole of Goma today, you will want another city and another one. So contentment and godliness is great gain. Resist the devil. Do not give room to the devil. Instead, be sober and vigilant. 1 Peter 5, 8. Resist. Go and look at the dictionary definition of resisting. It demands a lot from your side. It's not the way we do. Avoid wrong company. In the book of, let me read this one, Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. You can also read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Evil companions corrupts good character. And many times you read from the Bible, Paul telling the church, telling young Pastor Timothy, be ye, come out of them. There are some things that should not be heard among you. Do not be partakers, and so on. Finally, when we read from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. You will read from the screen. After doing all those things, finally, these are the three things that God requires of us. One, I'm not going to elaborate because of time. One, that we act justly. Wherever we go, wherever we find ourselves, and so on. Two, that we should love mercy. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love people who are vulnerable, deprived in our society, and so on. We must love mercy. Finally, we must walk humbly, because it is not your doing. You are the way you are because of God. Praise God. Finally, that is what is very important to us. That's how we should fight corruption. And reading keenly what's in Micah, this is what is required of us. And then, so that what Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, there are so many things, including uncleanness and covetousness, that it should not even be named among you. These are some of the acts of corruption that we should not be partakers with them, those who practice such. Praise the Lord. That one is the end. And we did not have time. You can get from the slides so that you read at your own time. Thank you very much, and may God bless you.